Hey, everybody listening through the Roughing the Kicker podcast feed. It's me again. Why would it be anybody else? I just wanted to let you know what's coming up here on the podcasted version of today's Almost Entirely Sports. The first segment's all about the Chiefs and why I think the Chiefs might be better off now than they were at the end of Week 5. And then the show goes to a totally bizarre place that's not necessarily Chiefy, and I'm letting you know now that it's there. So if you don't want to listen to it, you can just listen to the Chiefs segment and turn it off. That's fine by me. I think you're going to enjoy what happens in the second and third segment of the show today. You don't have to be a KU fan to get this, but KU fans were getting feisty with Dan Dakich, a college basketball play-by-play guy, a color commentator. And Dan was tweeting them back on Twitter, and there were these fun little Twitter spats between fans and this color commentator. Well, so I ended up tweeting him also, and just quote tweeting him. I thought it was funny. And then he responded to me. I responded to him again. I gave him the station phone number, thinking that maybe he would want to call and talk about his Twitter strategies. And then he did call, and it was an absolutely perfect 10 minutes of radio. So if you want to hear that part, just stick around after the Chiefs segment ends. And if you aren't interested in that, I understand. And you can, you know, listen to the first 20 minutes of today's show, which is very Chiefy, and then move on. So I wanted to give you the ability to keep listening to that. I hope you'll listen because, again, I just thought, especially the last like 5 minutes of this hour of the show were magical. So I hope that you give it a shot and listen to it. And if not, I hope you enjoy the Chiefs stuff that I always try to give you. So thanks for listening to my my preamble, and I hope you enjoyed today's show.
Isn't this a sports show?
I'm self-serving.
Yes, you definitely are.
Almost entirely.
There are more pieces of evidence of that than that the dinosaurs ever existed. We have more sound clips of meetings self-promoting than we have fossils in the fossil record.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
We have more evidence of me being self-serving than we have that the moon landing was a real thing. Like, we know that I'm self-serving.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
I play enough fantasy football. I've been playing fantasy football for coming up on 10 years, which is completely bleeping bonkers. I've barely been potty trained for 10 years.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
I'm dope. Quit listening. Unfollow me on Twitter.
On ESPN Kansas City.
There's a lot going on today. In sports? No. No, there's nothing going on in sports today. But in the two rooms that collectively make up ESPN Kansas City, there's a lot going on today. Mainly just Beard isn't here. And he's all—it's just kind of like he's just kind of like taking a me day.
But guess who is?
But Charlie is here, not across the console from me, but across the glass. Charlie's actually running the whole operation today, which he hasn't done for this show in like 2 months, 3 months. Like the first couple of weeks, Charlie and Beards kind of went back and forth. Then, you know, I had some conversations with those in high power and said, listen, I tell you what, I'm going to quit this damn show if Charlie Carlin ever runs another moment of the show ever again. So you're listening to the last version, last edition of Almost Entirely Sports. That's not true. But Charlie's in today for Beards, and Charlie will probably be around tomorrow, although I just had some conversations about tomorrow's 45-minute show, and it could be... we'll do a 45-minute show tomorrow. I just don't know where... or who it'll be with, necessarily. We'll figure it out. But we get the full 2 hours of the Charlie Carlin experience here today. There are a few actual sports stories, and there's some Chiefs-related stories that I'm pretty ready to talk about today. So that's all good. We never talked about Jerry Richardson yesterday. We'll get to that eventually as well. And yesterday, Beards drove this show up a wall. So we'll see if Charlie decides to try to grab the steering wheel away from me at some point during the show today as well.
What did Beards do yesterday?
Yesterday,
I kind of heard a little bit of the show, but...
Yeah, so Beards played an audio clip of the Ottawa Senators play-by-play broadcasters. Did you ever hear the audio?
I heard about half of it, maybe.
Yeah, well, they're just talking about, like, Grindr and stuff. So we obviously just spent the rest of the show talking about the strangest other dating sites we could find. And we did, like, 90 minutes of that. And that was the show yesterday. Because once we got far enough into it, I was like, well, we can't just go to Chiefs now. It's not. I mean, like, no one's going to listen to that. Like, you're either here for it or you're not. And either way, it's fine. But we'll start off with some Chiefs things today. Also, we're not on Facebook because Beards' computer has all the Facebook stuff. And he's not here. Absent that leave. But we hope he's at least seeing Star Wars today so we can talk about Star Wars tomorrow. Or, I don't know, maybe at least Thursday or Friday. We have another Wet and Wild Wacky Friday. Oh, God, just what we need. If we have Star Wars to talk about, I think we'll be good. And also, the Chiefs aren't going to be like a black hole just sucking all of the joy out of us. Because they're good again. And so, actually, pardon my optimism. I know it's not really my move, but whenever I was writing a post for Arrowhead Addict on Sunday afternoon, I found myself sort of convincing myself that the Chiefs might be in their best position of the year right now. They don't seem impenetrable, that's for sure. Things aren't quite as bright right now as they were in week 5, but it might be better this way. Because the Chiefs showed a lot of weaknesses in that midseason meltdown, right? I mean, the run defense got just trampled, stampeded for a little bit. The secondary looked really bad in a couple of places. The offense was truly atrocious. They were getting beat by a cover 2 zone. Alex Smith could not throw a football. The running game stopped being functional. They showed a lot of problems in that midseason stretch. And so I would understand if it feels this way. If it feels this way for me a little bit, like the Chiefs now are a very flawed team, kind of masquerading as the AFC champion to be and a bit of a faux contender. Which is, by the way, where I expected to be this year. I mentioned this yesterday, and I know this is insufferable, and I know that this is me being really self-interested, but I just think it's kind of funny. I spent all of last Royals season. Charlie, do you remember what I spent, like, on Sports Sunday last Royals season? Do you remember what I said in spring training and then again every single day for the rest of the baseball season until the Royals ultimately finished their season? Do you remember what my one consistent stance was as to the state of the Royals as a whole?
Very average.
They were a 500 baseball team.
Yeah, okay.
I said at the beginning of the year they were going to be 500, and I said every breath along the way they're going to be a 500 team. They finished the year 80-82. I was off by 1/162nd of a point or whatever. I don't know how that works. I said at the beginning of this Chiefs season, I said, I think the Chiefs are probably a 10-6 team that could very likely beat a team in the first round and then lose to the Patriots or Steelers. Right now, the Chiefs are 8-6. They look pretty prone to win their last two games. They get the Ravens at home, and then they would have to go to New England or Pittsburgh. I feel like I had a pretty good read on both of those teams. And I don't want to be right on this Chiefs case, but it's just sort of where we are now. And so that all saying, it feels like this team is a little bit of a pretender. But it actually might not be that bleak. Not even mentioning the fact, I guess I'm mentioning it now, but not even mentioning the fact that Tom Brady sneakily hasn't been great over the last handful of weeks. They lost to the Dolphins whenever they didn't have Rob Gronkowski. The Steelers just lost Antonio Brown for at least a couple of games, it seems like. They're hoping to have him back for the playoffs. It's not all sunshine and roses for the rest of the AFC, to be sure. But even beyond that now, hear me out on this. The Chiefs showed a lot of flaws in that lull, in that meltdown. but they just might be better off for having had them in the middle of the season. The offense has been refocused and rebuilt on Kareem Hunt getting the ball, Tyreek Hill with his deep shots, and Travis Kelce destroying over the middle. The defense has looked better in the last 2 weeks than it looked at any point in those first five. The offense was being beaten by cover two defenses and even a breath of pressure on Alex Smith, but now they're busting zones, and the offensive line and Alex Smith seem to trust each other again. The defense could not get pressure on the quarterback to save their lives through that lull, but now they're living in the backfield these last 2 weeks. These were all issues that would have cost the Chiefs a playoff game or even a playoff spot if they weren't resolved. But with two really good-looking divisional wins in the last 2 weeks, I think you can make a reasonable argument right now that the Chiefs are better off now than they were in Week 5. Because it would be great to have never faced any of those problems. But it seems like now, as crazy as it seems, compared to the joy of the first 5 weeks and the just depression of that horrendous stretch, I'm not sure that this week's Chiefs team played the Week 5 Chiefs, I'm not sure that this team wouldn't win that game. I think they might be better off now. Now listen, I still think that this version of the Chiefs would lose to the Steelers in Pittsburgh and would lose to the Patriots in New England. Like, they might just have their hands full against the Ravens in the first round, which is almost certainly what's going to happen. There are very few alternatives. The Ravens would have to lose at home to the Colts next week and all sorts of things for anything else to open up. And the Chiefs would have to... I think you have to lose both games, and then the Steelers would have, or the Chiefs, or the Chargers would have to win both. And would that even do it? Listen, let me say this: if the Chiefs somehow lose to the Dolphins, they're going to beat the Broncos by 30, but they're not going to lose to the Dolphins either. The Chiefs are going to win the AFC West, just like I said. Remember, whenever I said in what was it, week like 7, I said the AFC West is over. Psh, look, I was right. Never a doubt in my mind. Charlie, do you know where the music is in the system that whenever I ask for music to play while I'm looking for something, the Jeopardy music? Do you have any idea where that might be hidden? If not, it's fine. You can just maybe search Jeopardy. I was going to ask you to search for something for me. Let me know if you can find where it is. Otherwise, I'll try to figure out a way to do this in a way that isn't quite as funny. And also will take forever. All right, Charlie, can I get some music for trying to figure out how long ago I said that the AFC West was over? Thank you. Let's see. The problem with producing 2 hours of radio every day is it's really hard to find things from the past. Okay, I never found it. I'm gonna guess. Charlie, I don't mean to impose. Could I get some music for trying to guess whenever it would have been that I would have said that the AFC West was over? Let's see. Also, I think I searched the wrong place last time, so I might actually be able to find the date of whenever I said the AFC West is just over. Let's see, they're 5-0, and the AFC West was in trouble. You know what? They lost to the Steelers and then the Raiders, and then they beat the Broncos before they lost 4 more in a row. So I'm willing to say that at the very least it would have been that week. Chiefs were 6-2. Yeah, that makes sense. October 30th. I'm guessing that it was October 30th that I, or 31st, on Halloween,
I maintain this division was over. Now it's nearly Christmas, and we almost let that one go. Almost folded up on that one.
November was a dark month.
November was horrible. Okay, here. I found the podcast now. I was correct. On October 31st, I put out a podcasted version of the show titled "The Chiefs Have Won the AFC West." And I was right. They're going to win the AFC West. It just... almost 2 months after I declared it over, and while sharing the title for the AFC West, were the Chiefs, Chargers, and Raiders all tied a couple weeks ago? I think all three of them. Yeah, I didn't see the three-way tie coming. But I was right! Kinda. So I'm gonna count that. It's a moral victory.
Gotta win the little battles.
Right. But really, if you look at this team across the board, the run defense looks as good as it. Now, listen, Melvin Gordon did have some runs last week, or back on Saturday. The secondary isn't a good tackling secondary. But unless you can take me to a version of the Chiefs team that has Eric Berry on it, which wasn't the case in Week 5, you bring in Darrelle Revis, you know that Terrence Mitchell is your best corner behind Marcus Peters and Steven Nelson, which I knew at the beginning of the year, but Bob Sutton didn't, I guess. I don't know. I guess I should have been the Chiefs defensive coordinator. Maybe we would be 14-0 right now if I was. You've got the secondary problems fixed. The pass rush is as good as it's been at least since Week 5. I think the Chiefs had 7 sacks in the 7 weeks of that 1-6 run. I think that was the official stat there. 1-6 run, 7 sacks in those 7 games. The pass rush looks as good as it looked. The secondary looks as good as it's looked. The run defense, pass rush, all of it. The offense definitely leaves me feeling scared again. Because you felt like it was firing on all cylinders. Now we've seen it. We've seen it so aggressively bottom out. But these last 2 weeks, it's looked pretty damn good. You feed Kareem Hunt, and maybe the Chiefs really were just trying to keep his legs healthy, keep him fresh throughout the middle of the season. I get it. Now you need these games, you feed Kareem Hunt. You're going to bring the Ravens to Arrowhead in the first week of the playoffs. I'm guessing that Kareem Hunt's going to touch the ball 25 times. I'm guessing that Alex is going to take those shots to Tyreek Hill. You're going to throw the ball to Travis Kelce, hopefully, in place of Demetrius Harris, whenever that happens. Now, listen, I still think that this team is not going to be better than the third-best team in the AFC, and with the Jags playing as well as they've been playing recently, probably not better than fourth. And they'll be the fourth seed going into the playoffs, in all likelihood. And that's, that's about right. You get a home game in the playoffs and a chance to go prove something. Charlie, you were looking at your computer earlier with a face as if you had smelled something rancid. What was upsetting your stomach so?
Well, this actually applies to your opinion on a certain someone I'm about to mention. But from Pro Football Talk.
All right.
Deshaun Watson wants to spend whole career with Bill O'Brien.
I saw that. You know what, man?
I was like, wait, what? Why?
No, I saw that. And for some reason, that's a topic again on like Around the Horn today. This story came out last week at one point where I had a whole segment of just joyously frolicking around the idea that the Texans might fire Bill O'Brien, even though the team was really good with Deshaun Watson. Bill O'Brien's a bad head coach. He does not manage games well, and he started the season with Tom Savage and then pulled him after 30 minutes. This is an inexcusable mismanagement of your quarterbacks and your assets, and I will never trust you as a head coach. Also, quick pivot. I will feel so bad for Chicago Bears fans whenever, not if, when John Fox is fired and they replace him with Jeff Fisher. Because that's gonna happen. And Mitchell Trubisky is going to be a ghost in 2 years. I'm going to believe. Now, listen, if I am the GM or owner or whatever of the Houston Texans, I would bring Deshaun Watson in the second that week 17 buzzes. And that's not really what I meant to say, but we're close. So the second that week 17 comes to a close, maybe the end of week 16, but you want to wait till, you know, the very, very end of the season. I would bring Deshaun Watson into the office and say, listen, Deshaun, I want you to be relentlessly honest with me. Do you give a bleep about Bill O'Brien? And if so, do you give one in a positive or negative direction? And unless Deshaun Watson grovels to save Bill O'Brien's job, I would move on in a heartbeat. Like, here's the thing. Like, if you're like a Texans fan, you're like, yeah, but we've been pretty good. Say, okay, look at Philadelphia. Look at Doug Peterson. That seems good, right? Yeah. Okay. Look at the Texans as Bill O'Brien envisioned them after training camp, after the preseason, in the first half of his season this year. Did you see that team? Yeah. What about the Chiefs whenever Matt Nagy took over play calling? Did you like that offense? Oh, yeah, no, that was great. You can have Matt Nagy. He will show up, man. If you go to any head coaching candidate, any offensive-minded head coaching candidate in football, and you're like, hey, we need a head coach, and we've already got Deshaun Watson. Are you interested? They will be there. They will be there in the blink of an eye. Bill O'Brien is not worth it. It's simply not worth it. And I think all of this to say, Deshaun Watson, just like, well, yeah, I love my current head coach. Because if you say anything to the contrary, that's going to be a story. So I hope, and I don't usually do a whole lot of, I want this person to lose their job, but I hope Bill O'Brien gets fired, and I hope Mike McCarthy gets fired, simply because the NFL has enough bad head coaches that good quarterback play, independent of that head coaching, should not make you keep your job. It would be like if I just randomly cursed once every segment on this show, and then today, Charlie, usually Beards, just hit the dump button every time. Just cut it out. Nobody ever heard it. You know, they went in and cut it out of the podcast. And everything we got through, even though I was doing an unbelievably bad radio thing. Good dump button usage by the producer should not save my job. I should be held accountable for saying bleep or for starting the season with Tom Savage. That's all. Man, this segment was about the Chiefs until I imagine that actually doing radio in Houston wouldn't be a ton of fun. Although, actually, probably is pretty similar to Kansas City. Young, good baseball team that just won a World Series. You know, Kansas City a couple years ago. Now you got a young quarterback and the team is good. You got a basketball team. I'm sure Houston's fine. I'm saying that if I was doing the show in Houston, I would be saying all of these things, but secretly rooting so much for Bill O'Brien to never be fired, because I feel like I could talk about Bill O'Brien. Like, okay, it's a Tuesday. Got to fill a couple hours. What do I want to do? Oh, Bill O'Brien's still the head coach of this football team? Hell yeah. I basically do that here. My irrational, maybe rational, hatred of Bill O'Brien seeps across state lines.
Hey, someone just called wanting to offer you a job from Houston Radio 97.3. Were you down?
I gotta go.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
Put that on my tombstone. He died with a great shirt, a great watch, and a great haircut.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com.
All right, I have a new favorite trend to manifest in late 2017. Broadcasters searching their own names on Twitter and then getting into fights with people on Twitter. Dan Dakich, it's Dakich, right? He he was doing this last night and is still doing it now in a Twitter thread that started with a blog that I co-own. I didn't do any of these tweets. I don't really run the Rock Chalk Blog Twitter account, but I do edit the site and own half of it. Anyway, I say own as if it's a company. I don't have a better word for it. Manage? I don't know. It's not a stock you can invest in. But whatever. I'm partially responsible for Rock Chalk Blog at this point. Anyway, there were tweets about Dakich last night doing the KU game, and a friend of mine tweeted that he was terrible and that he said, "I dare say that he made me miss Fran Fraschilla." Dakich then responds to him. Dakich was not added in this conversation. Dakich comes in with, "You guys bitch about everyone. It's what you do and what your insecurities lead to. No worries. Real hoops folks loved it." And then some older woman, I'm saying older as in like gray hair, said, "You should never say derogatory comments about any student athletes. Malik and Svi probably have more talent in their pinkies than you ever did." Then Dakich comes through with, "Probably or probably not. Why are you all so incredibly insecure and overly sensitive? Seems like a hateful person like yourself would have bigger people to spew your hate at. But if not, fire away. And I know a stylist that can help with your lettuce." Top rope! And so here's the thing. There are a couple of levels of this. First of all, like, broadcasters are real people, which, you know, it's cool to remember that. That's fine. Secondly, KU fans are never happy with a broadcast team ever. It's every broadcast team, it's somebody. It's Fran Fraschilla, or it's Bill Walton, or it's Dan Dakich. It's always something. But also, what is it about these older, like, I say older, I don't know, like, what, middle-aged color commentators and play-by-play guys, or color commentators, I guess, mostly, going on Twitter and obviously searching their name to find out what people are saying about them? I've never done that. Which has to be stunning, because I feel like I'm the type of person you would expect to go around Twitter trying to find people talking about me but not adding me. But I don't do that. I just, if someone adds me, I might respond. But also, Dakich has been going in really hard on, like, "You insecure KU fans," which, first of all, he has a point. KU fans are insecure about a lot of things. That's true. But also, he's on Twitter searching for his name so he can defend himself by calling other people insecure. It's really weird. It's a really bizarre development that I totally love. I 100% am here for college basketball color commentators searching their own names on Twitter and then calling other people insecure. He's been all over it, man. Like, I keep seeing, so I get Rock Chalk Blog's mentions and my mentions on TweetDeck, and I just keep kind of just glancing over there. And I keep going, "Dan Dakich again? This isn't like a retweet. He's tweeting at someone who's responded to some other tweet again." It's really odd.
Through his whole Twitter account, it's just him quoting somebody talking about him, and then responding to it in some way.
Somebody, I mean, this lady responds with, he's added me. Oh no. So I quote tweeted his tweet, which is with, "Broadcasters picking fights with KU Twitter is my favorite bizarre trend to manifest in late 2017. He said, "Picking fights? No clue who this crazy lady was until she came at me. I just counter. No need for me to take crap from bad hair, insecure folks." Okay, whatever, fine. I want to take a break and see if we can get him to call in. Also, our phones are locked, which is just fine. They're open now. I want to talk to him so bad about this. So she responded to him with, "At least I have some. If you looked into the mirror lately, I wouldn't go there if I were you." He says, "I have, and it's awful. That's why I recommend helping. That's why I recommend help yours, as I know awful hair." What? It's just very childish. It's funny. I'm laughing at it with it. But it's really devolving. Again, he's right. KU basketball fans are sensitive. Charlie went to go ahead. Vouch for me, please, Charlie.
Oh, that's definitely true.
Okay.
But he said that KU fans aren't in the holiday spirit. Merry Christmas, you wacky whiners. KU fans.
Well, I have that on a Christmas card already. That is a quintessential holiday greeting. Happy holidays, you wacky whiners.
Wet and wild, wacky Wednesday whiners.
It's just so weird. And then there are people it's not good. But he has 145,000 followers. Why is he, I'm trying to see how many followers this random old lady with perfectly fine hair. She has 1,400 followers. That's in my wheelhouse, man. He's now responded with, "Feedback from these fools? Child, please. Ha ha. Affect me? Are you crazy? This is my fun." Again, I love it. I'm glad that it's happening, but it is so strange. Oh, I have a Fran Fraschilla story that I can't really even tell right now, but at some point I will. Did I tell you my Fran Fraschilla story ever, Charlie? You would know if I did. Okay. There's a lot of that. There's a lot of this going around. There's a lot of insecure color commentators searching their own name on Twitter. And it's, again, okay, you know what? Can we make a game of this? I'm going to search Josh Briscoe and just sort of see if anything shows up. I have a fake JB Briscoe account out there, but it's been good. It has a good sense of humor. No, I got nothing. Oh, well, hold on, that's top. Maybe latest. Is anybody saying? I know. Listen, this guy's like a national. Oh, hold on. Here we go. Let's see. Oh, this is okay. This is weird. This isn't how I expected this to go at all. Somebody says, "Is EB on the sidelines and with the team?" And someone responded to that guy with, "Yep, according to Josh Briscoe," which is just something I tweeted out. Like, that just. Should I like that guy's tweet now? Obviously showing that now I'm searching my own name. Man, now every time, all of the tweets that I put out that have Josh McCown in them, those are all showing up. No, there's nothing. I got nothing. But I've also never done this before. And that's all I got. One guy quoting a report that I had. It's just so strange. All right, we're going to take a break, and I'm going to see if I can get Dan Dakich to fight with me again.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
All right, I've tweeted that out, and I'm hoping that what I just said is factual and that your research wasn't bad.
Yeah, me too.
On 1510 AM, 99.3 FM, and 1510.com. Nobody pray for me.
It been a day for me. Yeah. All right, welcome back to the show. I'm crafting my latest tweet to Dan Dakich. So I quote tweeted his tweet with something else. We're gonna go to Chiefs stuff in a second. I just think this, if you are like listening to this for Chiefs stuff and you're upset with this detour we've taken, I've got nothing for you. Like, I cannot explain to you anyway. This is amazing.
Well, that's also a daily thing too.
Oh, the detour to other fun things. Yes, that's what the show is. Sorry, I'm literally typing my final works on this one, because I quote to you what he said with, the thing that gives me great joy is that nobody tagged Dakich and he found them. Again, I'm totally on board with commentators v. fans on Twitter. I just feel like I'm living in an alternate dimension. He responded to me again, dude, every person you dream of searches their name. It's smar business. I'm guessing he means smear business. It's a smear business, maybe? I don't know. Merry Christmas. He signed off with Merry Christmas. And I'm just quote-tweeting that with, this is the part I didn't know. I didn't know that it was this common. If you ever want to come talk to Kansas City, just DM me and we'll make time on Kansas at Kansas City ESPN, 4 to 6 p.m. Central. You can call right now if you'd like. 913-491-8255. Charlie. Keep dry on the phones. I love it. I love what's happening.
I would just love for him to call while this music is playing. It makes sense. Yeah.
Do you think you would recognize his voice if he called in? Because if I was seeing that tweet, I would call that number pretending to be him. And so if that phone does ring, we have to go through some sort of validation process, because I don't want any fake Dan Dakiches.
Because there's so many of them out there.
Right. There's a plague. There's a plague of fake Dan Dakiches. Are you sure it's Dakich? I would hate to introduce him.
Yeah.
He was on the broadcast last night. Were you not watching?
No, I was running the Chiefs Kingdom show, which was on the
TV. Oh, you're right. You know what I did last night?
I listened to the radio.
You know what I did last night? I went to Austin's, finally. The sponsored Thursdays here. It was great. I'd never been.
What'd you eat?
I got the Cowboy Burger, because Mondays, burgers are half off. It was a treat. It was just lovely. I was very pleased. I'll go back again. Phone hasn't rang yet. Come on, Dan! Come on!
Cowboy burger, huh?
One of my friends just messaged me. He called her hair lettuce!
Yeah, how did we not stop and talk about that insult? Oh, whatever that is.
It's good, man. It's good. I've only ever heard people over the age of 75 call other people's hair lettuce, but it's fine. That's not true necessarily.
Is this a normal insult to somebody's hair?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I can't say I've ever.
If I search for slangs for hair, we're gonna have a pretty short list.
Yeah,
but a mop, lettuce.
Okay.
I think those are the only two. Can you think of any other slang for hair? I think lettuce is probably the second most likely. All the other ones, bedhead. Everything else is like that one's obscene. Everything else is just kind of like a type of hair. Like afro or the Alabama mud flap, which is like a mullet. I think. The rug. Your rug. That also is a possibility. So I think there are... I think there are plenty of different insults for hair. Our phone has rang. We just don't know what's we don't know what's going on yet. Charlie's on the phone and he seems pleased with himself. I'm kind of just sitting and stunned. Not stunned. I feel like I'm in a holding pattern right now. What's going on, Charlie? I can't hear you whenever you hit the talkback button. Just tell me what's going on, please.
It sounds like Dan is on the line, yeah.
All right! Hey, Dan, how's it going?
Good, how you doing?
I'm having a good time, and I have enjoyed following your Twitter account the last 12 hours or so. So one thing that Charlie and I were just doing was discussing how you landed on lettuce as the hair descriptor, because I think mop and lettuce are probably the first go-tos. What was your line of thinking and ultimately landing on lettuce?
Well, ultimately, it, I'm sorry, I'm pulling in here to park at Ohio State. I'm going to my son's game.
Sure, no worries.
Ultimately, I wanted, you guys are so, uptight and insecure and, nuts. So I wanted crazy lady to know that I was just kind of joking around. That's why I went with lettuce, but... I would imagine it escaped her that's why I did that, because she seemed to be a very hateful person. In fact, I think her Twitter thing is hate Trump or something, and talks about a lot of hate. So I wanted her to know, I was just kind of jacking around, but I could tell that it escaped her a tad, but
right.
That's what I would expect. I mean, you guys are some uptight folks, man. Holy cow.
Yeah, well, I think
great.
So.
Great, I love it.
I think that a friend of mine, Scott Chasen, who I think you quote tweeted a while back, said something about that KU fans are disappointed with the commentary for the 11th consecutive game, which is 100% true. I am totally with Scott on that. I didn't know that, because you just tweeted a second ago, you mentioned that you say everybody in broadcasting searches their own name and sees what's going on and can hop in to defend themselves or whatever. I didn't know that was a common practice. I think we found Fran Fraschilla do that a couple times around the KU broadcast that he's done, and then we saw yours. Like, is that really just everybody in your circle is just kind of searching their own name and seeing what pops up?
Yeah, and there's in my case, being a radio host in Indianapolis, I've had people say that I'm going to be at events, the promoting, and I got to make sure that doesn't happen. Obviously. I can't have, Eddie's Donuts saying, hey, Dan Dog, and that's happened four times. Dan Dog is going to be here. And I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. In fact, I was told that by a guy with Barstool Sports, a punter named Pat McAfee.
Uh-huh.
And Pat's a good friend of mine. He's doing great work. I don't know if you know who Pat is.
Yes.
But he's with Barstool. Uh-huh. And all. Well, Pat's like, dude, you got to search your name. And so I started, and then I realized, well, wait a second. That's just good business. Everybody in this industry does, because I've caught four different times somebody saying I'm coming to an event to promote their business, and I didn't even know what the hell the event was. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, yeah. So you do that, and then I I get bored. I get driving. I'm with a friend of mine, and he's driving, and he's, I get bored. So I'll find somebody that goes at me. And to me, that's the world I live in, man. It's a fun world, but to everybody else, it's uptight, and I like getting people to the point where they gotta swear at me, and then I just kind of laugh and go about my business. So, today we posted some pictures. Some guy with one of these real funky names, like Corbin Foster III or something. I have this theory that if you're over 30 years old and you have a middle hair part, actually this theory was said to me by the vice president of the NCAA. If you have a middle hair part and you're over the age of 30, you're generally insane. And Charlie Sheen has a middle hair part and he's over 30.
Right.
Kim Jong-young or whatever the hell that guy's name is out in, North Korea, he's got a middle hair part and he's over 30. So
wow. Yeah.
This guy, Corbin Foster, some Kansas fan that, you know, takes himself serious. So we put out pictures of Corbin today with a middle hair part and compared him to Sheen. So, you know, I mean, look, I catch hell every time I do a game. And everybody knows, like everybody in the world knows that, I mean, with all due respect, very few fan bases whine more than Kansas. I mean, let's just, you know, it is what it is. I knew that going in because we all talk about it. We all laugh like, man, just wait till they get a load of my act, you know. And so sure enough, you know, the little blogger boys and all that. And to me, it's fun. To me, it's like I'm used to working. Like when I was a coach, I was one of those 6 a.m. to midnight guys. Now I work 3 hours a day, so hell, I got to fill my time and, you know, what the hell. So that's what I do.
That's fantastic. Dan, I appreciate – I mean, listen, you can talk about your Twitter strategy for literally as long as you want, and we will skip commercial breaks because I love – the phrase I used was broadcasters picking fights with KU Twitter, and I didn't mean that you were throwing yourself off the top rope. Although I think you did with the lettuce thing, that was a pretty clean knockout. But I love the interaction that comes from this because it absolutely is making KU Twitter mad, which is fine with me. I have been enjoying that wholeheartedly.
Well, the thing is, you know, I get. Last night, I talked to Coach K today, and we were talking about, like, you know, people hear what they want to hear. So I must have said 8,000 glowing things about Kansas because I really like Kansas basketball. Like, I really like Bill. But I did say, and this is a fact, this is every coach that coaches at a mid-major, when you play out of Kansas, you know you're going to get screwed.
Yes.
When I was an assistant at Indiana for Bob Knight, I used to tell him, like, if we're playing Central Michigan, coach, you got to stand up and change the game. Because, look, officials make about $2,000 doing a Kansas game and about $750 doing an Omaha game. So who the hell you think they're going to try to keep happy? It's human nature. And as a coach, I saw it from a high major and from a mid-major. So I say 8 million nice things about Kansas basketball and, you know, Fog Allen's the best-smelling field house or whatever. And,
yeah,
you know, Doggett, you said that, you know, Newman isn't the greatest player alive and, you know, we get screwed. And I'm like, God dang. Like, so anyway, Coach K and I were kind of talking about that on my radio show today. That, you know, people, you could say 8 really good things, but people latch on, players latch on, fans latch on to that one negative. And that's all I've heard today is, you can't say they're in self's pocket. I'm like, well, I can say it. I said it, and I'll keep saying it because they're in Izzo's too. You know, they
right.
were in Knights too when I was there.
Right.
It's just the way the world works. So, anyway, is what it is, man. You're shocked I called, aren't you?
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought that there was a chance because I saw that you were on Twitter pretty consistently over the last 10 minutes or whatever. So I figured that you might have had some time to fill, and I'm glad that you called. In fact, so we're talking, if you just tuned in, you're wondering what is going on. We're talking to Dan Dockich. You can follow him on Twitter at Dan Dockich. And I don't know where, you said you're heading to Ohio State. I don't know where you're going to be next. I didn't have your schedule prepared for this, but if you, we'll let you go if you're done. If you're not done, you can talk for as long as you want. But if you don't mind, Dan, I would love to have you give my producer your number, and I would love to talk to you about college basketball and KU or whatever it is whenever you have the time. You could call in once a week, and I would make the time for you, Dan.
Well, you better be careful. Because let me see here. Hold on a second. Some jackass named Joe Davis says, no, Josh, I'm not talking. You know, he don't want to listen when I'm on. So you might have just lost the listener for some dude named Joe Davis. So that may come back to crush you.
You know what? I'm going to go ahead and let Joe go. I'll make that sacrifice. If it means we can talk to you again sometime.
Here's the deal. You call me anytime you want. I'll give my number to your producer. You call me anytime. Just text me when you want to have me on. My next game is Oklahoma. I got Northwestern at Oklahoma, and then I'm going to go watch my son. They play North Carolina after that. Anyway, you call me anytime, and I'm happy to come on. We can do a regular segment, whatever you want, man.
I'd love to, Dan. I appreciate it. Thanks for calling in out of the blue, and we will absolutely talk to you again.
No problem. Hey, Joe Davis, you're going to miss a hell of a segment if you don't want to listen to me and Josh, brother, because this is going to, I almost swore right there. This is going to get good, Joe Davis. So there you go. I'm ready. Let's do it.
Also, just cut some wrestling promos in your free time, because I would listen to those for the rest of time also.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling in, Dan. I love him. KU Twitter needs to... you've got to get on board with that. Are you kidding me? How good is that? That's the best 10 minutes of radio we've ever done. I didn't even say anything. The best decision I've ever made in the history of the show was just tweeting the number out to Dan. We will have him on again. We will have him on whenever possible. We might see if we can just fly him in and have him co-host the show every day. That was my favorite segment we've ever done. Also, I didn't even have to tell Charlie to not hit the bleeping music, because I was sitting here going, man, Charlie better not try to get this segment to close on time. We'll skip SportsCenter. We'll skip... nothing else matters. Okay, seriously, though, I mean this. If you are one of the people who was upset with Dan last night during the KU game or on Twitter in the last 24 hours, you have got to be back on board. I will not let team affiliation trump my love for that kind of personality, man. I want wrestling promos from every color commentator in college basketball. No exceptions. Ah! What a great ending to the first hour.